San Antonio Sports Star Audio Vault is brought to you by AA Best Bail Bonds, 225-2121, or online at mybestbailbonds.com. Live, local, loud. KZDC, San Antonio Sports Star. ESPN. AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Laying down the law. Laying down the law. With Steve Foster, Rod Chico Tanner, and Chris Fernandez. Brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Instaco Global Logistics, Cover 3 San Antonio, Serenity Medical Centers, San Antonio and Austin, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Laying Down the Law. I'm your host, Steve Foster, alongside Chris Fernandez. And a great night of basketball, college basketball, men's Division I. Elite Eight games in San Antonio, Texas at the AT&T Center. We had the University of Houston Cougs and the Villanova Wildcats. And Villanova gets the win, Chris, last night. And they won the national championship in 2018 in the Alamo City as well. A guy like Colin Gillespie for Villanova and his crew headed now to New Orleans along with the Duke Blue Devils, as half of the Final Four is now decided. They'll play those games next Saturday and Monday. But I got a rant, man. Let me tell you these stats. And, you know, I hear these people tell me about the percentage of the three-pointer versus the two-pointer, and it takes only two three-pointers to make six, and three two-pointers to make six, and the efficiency. No. Houston shot 5% from behind the three-point line. 1 for 20. I was going crazy and watching the game. Some of the guys that you hear during the week watching the game, and a 3-on-2 fast break. Now tell me, you played a little basketball. You probably at least played in middle school, junior high.
A little bit.
3-on-2 fast break. What do you – okay, hear me out. I know this wasn't Five Slamma Jamma, but let's just take this, okay? Let's take Michael Young, guard, Clyde Drexler, forward, and Benny Anders, who had the craziest – vertical of them all. If they were going to go 3-on-2 against the world, they were not going to stop and pull up at the three-point line and try to shoot a daggum three-pointer.
Right.
Take it to the rack. If you get fouled, it's two shots. Okay? I'm going to give you this math for all these analytical fooligans. Okay? You're 1 for 20 from the three-point line. So at some point, and I'm going to put some real salt in the wound of UT football players and football fans. If you would have pulled, and I like this guy a lot, he's doing great now, Chris Sims, before his fourth interception against Colorado, and put in Major Applewhite, after the second interception, even the third, you would have won the game, and Nebraska wouldn't have gone to that national championship, and Texas would have got the beat down from Miami. Okay, if you would have gone to the basket 10 of those 20 times and either made a layup or got fouled, you only lost by six. You were shooting 60-plus percent from the free throw line. That's 12 times better than you shot three pointers the whole game, and you saw 20! It's my jersey number! Exclamation. But you gave the game away because somebody told you, well, analytically, see, I took four semesters of calculus at Princeton. No! Go to the basket on a 3-on-2 fast break. If you get a jump shot, great! But that's not why you have a 3-on-2 fast break. The idea is to get your fast guys out on the wing, whoever that is, the guy with the ball. We did drills at the beginning of our basketball warm-up when I played, and I was bowed out of 10th grade because I was directionally challenged. But you would make the passes so the ball never hit the ground. You didn't have to take a dribble. And then you flew in the air. If Benny Anders settled for a three-point shot, Guy Lewis, I think, was the he said he'd have punched him in his head. And y'all would have been all mad and called him Bobby Knight of the South. But it's dumb. It's stupid. It makes no sense. And one, Allen Iverson, he had to be going crazy. Olajuwon was in the in section 124. He had to be throwing up.
You know, we saw the same thing happen Thursday night during the game between Houston and Arizona, where there was a 3-on-2 fast break, and they pulled up instead of going to the hoop and doing a layup or something. And the ball and the shot was missed. So
take it to the rack.
Absolutely.
Take it to the rim. Take it to the basket. You're 6-whatever. A heck of a lot taller than Chris and I.
Get fouled.
Get fouled going to the basket. It's easier shooting
especially
two free throws every single time. You make 6 out of 10. You win the game. It was a home game for Houston. And Calvin Sampson, he's a good coach. I understand. Well, the times are, you know, I need 5 wide receivers. You don't need 5 wide receivers in football. You don't have enough time to find 5 wide receivers. A play takes between 2.4 at the latest and maybe 3 seconds. You can't find 5 wide. You can't. So all that stuff, see it high school, college, pro, it don't work.
You got to wonder, though, Foss, do you think that that's something that's coming from the coaches, or is this the players that are out there wanting to hit the threes on their own?
You have to – with these coaches now in the Elite Eight, they have enough command of their players to say, go to the rim.
I agree because, you're like you said, and we talked about this Thursday night on the drive home.
5%! 1 for 20!
Oh, your odds are a heck of a lot better going to the rack and drawing the foul.
If you were 1 for 15 in the other 5 times you went to the basket and you made 2 points, you win by 4. And you're 1 for 15. If you pull Chris Sims after the second or third interception, Major Applewhite brings Texas back, you beat Colorado in the Big 12 championship, and you go to the national championship. You can't have 4 interceptions from your quarterback in a game, and you can't have 1 for 20 from the three-point line. I can make 1 for 20 from the three-point line. I can do that. I'll bet the house I can do that. But I can make 10 out of 20 layups.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, and the numbers don't lie. And it just makes sense. I mean, your percentage from the three point line is so low.
I can hear some people you and I know. Yeah. But see, analytically, I don't give a analytics don't win games.
Right.
And if you want to follow me because of some analytical Foster does this on third down, then guess what? I'm going to change it up because I have more than one play for every situation. Play my team on 7-on-7 and think that I'm going to call the same play. I will trick you every time. I will trick you every time. Because it's not a program. Humans aren't programmed that way. They're trained. But when you realize, man, I'm 1 for 10. DeMar DeRozan. Come on. We know him in San Antonio. The master of the mid-range jumper. He's scoring silly points for the Bulls. He don't take three-pointers. You're going to say, well, that's one guy. No. The whole NBA didn't take all these three-pointers with Magic and Bird and all those guys. They scored 30 points, but they got to the stripe. It's free. There's nothing better than free, especially if you get 2 of them at a time.
So much passion from you today, Foss.
Because it just didn't make sense. I can't play the game, but I know what to do. I'm scraping 6 feet when I put on the hoop shoes, man. And I'm standing tall, bro. Tall. But I know I'm going to the basket. And I, you know what? And if you, oh, well, they're going to swat the mess out of you. You know what? That's why Coach had you do the reverse layup. Because you can take them on the front inside of the rim and go underneath and back off the glass.
I used to try to do that.
You might not be able to jump as high or move as fast.
No.
But you could pass it to the guy that could.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if I'm wrong, call me 210-656-ESPN, 210-656-3776, and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. 1 for 20. Oh, but the analytics say you can get 3 and 3 make 6, but you got to make 3 layups. But the layup is a much higher percentage shot that can also get you either to the free throw line for 2 or an and one situation. We called Iverson his shoe and one because he was nasty in the paint. Jordan didn't settle. Jordan didn't settle for 3-pointers. Greatest guy ever. You're going to take Steph Curry over Michael Jordan?
No.
No.
No. And when you talk about that, guys in the NBA that played back in that era when Jordan played, they all went to the basket.
They Larry Bird, went. And I get chastised for this, he's 6 percentage points less of a 3-point shooter than Steph Curry. Well, he didn't shoot as many one. He didn't practice that. But he was still only 6%, which was nothing. If you get 6% better than 1 for 20, guess what? Houston wins the game.
Well, I was just about to ask you, based on the play of last night's game, change the fact that they don't take the threes and they go to the rack, does it change the outcome of the game in your opinion?
Yes, because you're not going to go 1 for 20 inside the three-point line because you're either going to shoot 15 to 17 footers, which great high school basketball players that go play Division I hit 60 or better percent of the time. And maybe if you're shooting 10 to 8 footers, they're going in 70 plus percent of the time. And you could get fouled. They didn't get fouled one time on a 3-point shot. So there's no chance. What are we doing? All right, I go on a break. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to set you up. After we talk to this gentleman in our next segment,
Steve's going to catch his breath.
The Dell match play. We're going to see who wins that one. But come on, man. Come on. All right. Maybe I'm not the certified basketball player, but somebody out there who is has got to tell me, yeah, I think that's right. And Houston should have won this game. All right. We're going to talk more when we come back after break right here on Laying Down the Law.
Laying Down the Law is brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Cover 3 San Antonio, Coordinated Financial Group, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
We're back. We are Laying Down the Law, and I promised I would try to contain myself, although we're going into a segment again that is another favorite topic of mine. That being officials. However, as I've always said on any broadcast, you cannot have a regulated game without the officiating crew. So, with that, I bring in fellow Texan, Austinite even, the one and only umpire from 2006 to 2020, Ruben Fowler. Ruben, good morning, and finally, welcome to Laying Down the Law.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking time out for us. Your position on an NFL football field, Mr. Umpire, is the most head on a swivel, craziest spot on the field for an official in any football game, the umpire.
Yeah. I guess it's true. But, you know, you're probably thinking more like the college official. The college umpires, because, you know, years ago they moved us from our dangerous position behind the linebackers to the offensive backfield in NFL.
But you're right. Okay.
The guys over there in college, they're having the guards, you know, receivers and linebackers and running backs and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, which I did at one time. So you're right.
You did. Do you recall like any close calls where you're like, oh my goodness, as much as I am? an athlete and a former player and understanding this, you know, so-and-so just nearly just made me hit the blooper highlight reel.
Yeah. Hey, and it wasn't sometimes that they made me, I mean, sometimes I was in the highlight reel and I got hit. You know, it's funny, Steve, you know, I worked over there on that side of the ball from my high school days on to college and my early NFL days. And I didn't realize how dangerous it was until they moved us. Then I got to thinking, what was I doing over there?
It's crazy, man. And I think what people don't recognize, and I hope you can describe this somewhat, is the speed of these athletes, and that you have to make a call on a guy who can cover 10 yards in 1.0 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. And you're talking about the big guys.
Right, exactly.
The little guys are faster than that. But, yeah, the speed is amazing. I can remember early on in my career, Michael Vick was still in the league when I first started. And I can actually tell you, I watched him, and he changed gears 3 different times on one play. And I thought, oh, God. faster to something else. I'm like, wow, man.
Well, did you get to see guys like Tyreek Hill and some other
Tyreek,
species? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Tyreek's a different beast. I mean, he has video game speed. You know, that whatever that button y'all hit, the speed
B button, baby.
Yeah.
Nice. How did you prepare? Did you, knowing that you were going to do a Giants Cowboys game, did you watch film that week on the Cowboys and the Giants to kind of get a feel for what their players did and maybe what you would look for in a game?
Yes and no. We did scouting reports as crews on every team that we would play. I mean, one specific official would have the job of pulling out a few plays and stuff to, you know, to look at and stuff. But it's hard to you don't want to get in the mindset where you just anticipate too much, because you can, you know, your mind can play tricks on you at that speed, the way the players move and stuff and everything. So you have to kind of rely on your training and your experience in order to make those final decisions. But we did look at a few plays from each team and stuff, maybe specific players who might have been known to might have got away with a couple of things the week before that they wanted to point out and make sure we had our antennas up for that or something. But yes, a little bit, but not overwhelmingly looking at teams specifically. We look at a lot of film during the week, period. We have to, I mean, from our prior game, we're going over our prior game, looking at film and stuff, evaluating ourselves and looking for things that we might have missed or, you know, could have been done better and stuff. So,
talking with Ruben Fowler, former NFL official. Ruben, what's the most difficult play to call? What's the most difficult penalty to discern? Is it pass interference? I mean, we say there's holding on every play. What in your professional estimation was the most difficult for a crew or for an individual to call?
Okay. Well, I can't really speak on pass interference because I never made a pass interference call in my career because I was an umpire. So the most difficult call to me would be holding. And, you know, people say that there's holding on every play, which to the, I guess I don't want to use the word untrained, but, you know, we're given parameters on what is a hold and what's not a hold.
Right.
And and when we are reinforced through that, by that, through film work, looking at lots and lots of film of identifying what is a hold and what is not a hold. You know, you see people going to the ground a lot of times and people say, oh, he was held. No, he wasn't. He might've tripped over somebody, you know, something like that.
Right.
But holding probably was the most difficult call. And I shouldn't use the word difficult because, like I said, once you rely on your training and your experience and all your film work and all your conscious to make that call. But it's still a really tough call because the players are so big, so fast, and athletic. You know, offensive linemen, defensive linemen are both very athletic nowadays. So that was probably the most challenging call, especially from my position as an umpire.
Hey, Ruben, this is Chris Fernandez. Question. So what's it like as an umpire, as an official prior to the game? Do you get the nerves? Do you get the you know, because you're going out there to call a big NFL. What's the biggest game you called, and what was the feel before you went out on the field?
Biggest game I called was my first game. But yes, you get butterflies. And I remember my first game. It was in Denver. It was a preseason game, but you know, when you're a rookie, that first game is a very big game. And I was working with Gerald Austin, longtime referee in the league and stuff. And I mean, the game was going, and I was just all over the place. And I remember him coming to me up during the first half. He said, "Ruben," he had been my college supervisor also. He said, "Ruben, what did I tell you when you were in college?" I said, "I don't know, Chief." That's what I called him, Chief. He said, "Slow your, you know what, down."
Right.
Because I was just bouncing all over the place and stuff and everything. So. But, yeah, you do get butterflies before the game. You know, you're out there and the national anthem's playing and stuff, and you see the flyovers and stuff, and you get those chills and things. So, yeah, just like the players. And the thing about it, you know, players want to go out there and play the best games they can. Officials are the same way. We want to work a perfect game every time we go out there, even though that's not possible, but that's our intention.
Ruben, how did you get selected and – first, how did you, you know, you were in the college ranks, as you mentioned, and then how did you say, I'm going to, I guess, graduate, for lack of a better term, to the professional ranks, and then how did you get selected for a crew?
I never said that. I actually never did. You know, a lot of people said, "Ruben, was that your goal to be in the NFL?" It never was, really. When I started officiating just for the fun of it, you know, doing, you know, somebody said, "Hey, Ruben, you come out here, make a few dollars and all that kind of stuff." And I went out there, and first of all, I told them I didn't want to be an official because I didn't like officials. You know,
I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah. And I went to a meeting, and I'm like, "Okay, this is okay. This sounds like fun." So I got out there and started officiating. And, you know, I started moving up through the high school ranks and eventually got in college. I went to the Southland Conference first, worked 2 years there. And then I got selected by Conference USA, which their selection process was I got invited to a scrimmage down in University of Houston at the time. They were in Conference USA. And they evaluated me and brought me into Conference USA. But while I was in Conference USA, people started talking, "Ruben, you know, you're going to the league." I'm like, "What are y'all talking about? How do y'all know?" And then a couple of guys who were in the conference who had been there before me actually got hired in the league that my first year, and I thought, "Oh, shoot." So, you know, people do go to the league from this is how they do it, which I had no idea. But once I got in Conference USA, I started getting exposed to NFL philosophies, NFL mechanics, and all that kind of stuff. And the NFL has scouts for officials. They have scouts that watch officials. And apparently one of the scouts thought I had potential, and they threw my name in the hat. And next thing I know, I was working arena football, which was under the NFL's realm at the time as far as officiating as part of their training and evaluation of officials. And that's when I started thinking, wow, so this might be a possibility. And from there, the next year, they sent me to Europe, to NFL Europe. And so that's really when things started getting kind of serious because, you know, the NFL office was there with us, and they were doing evaluations right there on the scene, and we were going over film and stuff with them and stuff. And we had a clinic where we had all the NFL people there, you know, teaching us and instructing us on how to do things. That's when I started thinking, man, this is a real possibility. And so and that's how it happened. I mean, I was in the NFL.
Did you get a call?
A couple of years.
They send you a letter? What happens when Ruben Fowler all of a sudden gets selected to be an NFL on an NFL officiating crew? How did that happen?
Well, it happened with a phone call.
Okay, it's the phone call. Okay.
I, I was working at FL Europe at the time, and I was on my way to Frankfurt, Germany. I was in the airport, and I got a phone call. And it was from Larry Upson, who was part of the NFL office at the time. And he said, "Reuben, how you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing good, Larry. How you doing?" He said, "I'm good." He said, "You sitting down?" I said, "Yeah, I was in the United Club at the time." And he said, "Well, Reuben, we decided we're going to bring you in." Phone just went quiet. I didn't say a word. He said, "Reuben, you still there?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm here. He said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm just trying to compose myself. I don't want to, you know, start doing my happy dance in the airport. I might get arrested or something." And they told me, you know, they were going to bring me in, gave me all the specifics and stuff. And in the meantime, I was going to Europe to work with work a couple of games in NFL Europe at the time. And they told me, "Don't tell anybody." I was like, "Okay." And I went over to Frankfurt a day early, just before the rest of the guys got there. And I'm walking around Frankfurt, you know, in cloud nine, thinking, "Well, how am I going to keep all this to myself when the guys get here?" So finally, I head over to the hotel, and some of the guys were already in the lobby. And one of the guys who was in the NFL already, they always had at least one NFL guy with us. He said, "Reuben, you got something to tell us?" And I looked at him and I said, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I learned. That's what I learned. There's no secrets in the officiating world. Once something happens, it spreads like wildfire. Everybody knows.
Right. Right. No, listen, I've known you for a long time. We've had the pleasure most of the time to talk working out because, of course, you know, fitness is definitely good for general purposes, but absolutely for someone in your line of work. And unbelievable to be able to turn on the football games for couple decades and see 71 from Austin, Texas doing a lot for a game that millions appreciate. And I just wanted at some point to have you come on and now, talk about some things here and there. But the story is now out, and we had an opportunity here during the segment to kind of hear the Reuben Fowler story, and it just really it's impressive to get to know the folks that are part of the sports fabric and landscape and that are neighbors to people that listen to this show, at least in their cars driving around and sometimes on their smartphones, etc. But a great career you had. And what are you doing now? What's fun and what's good for Reuben now?
Running behind grandkids. I still work for the Big 12. I've worked for the Big 12 as a grader and a trainer for the last 12 years. So I'm continuing with that. So we have camps and clinics and stuff that we have to attend and meetings and stuff. So I work with their umpires and train their umpires. So
that's awesome. Awesome.
Yep.
Well, listen, you know you're welcome anytime. Thank you so much for the time. I think patience is definitely a virtue. I know we've talked about this for a long time, and it's great to just finally catch up with you. It's a delight. For those that don't know Reuben, a great guy. You would never know unless somebody said, "Reuben, do you have something to tell us?" Or if you go, "Hey, that guy in HEB, he kind of looked like the guy we saw last week." And it's true. And it's great that, again, the necessary evil, as I say, it's a huge part of the game. It's not usual that an officiating crew determines an outcome of the game. I know that's not your intent or purpose, but certainly enjoyed your career seeing you. And it's always a pleasure to see you and catch up with you now. And I'm glad that the listeners have an opportunity to do the same thing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you soon. Again, you're always welcome back, and we appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you. All right. Bye. We're going to step aside, laying down the law. We're going to be back. I'm going to get back on that. No, I'm going to do some golf. Let's get that golf clap going there. The quarterfinals starting soon at the Austin Country Club for the Dell Match Play Tournament as they march on. We'll do the same right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250, 103.3 FM.
Laying Down the Law is brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Cover 3 San Antonio, Coordinated Financial Group, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
Laying Down the Law, Steve Foster and Chris Fernandez, and a little golf being played here in Central Texas. They search for the top 64. Not all of them come, but most all of them come. And now it's down to the final day, the quarterfinal, semifinal, or quarterfinal championship and consolation matches. What are your thoughts? Nice shirt.
You like that? Yeah, I picked that up. It's my first opportunity to go to Dell Match Play with you on Friday. And, you know, the atmosphere is just electric. It is so many people that we spoke to and interviewed. And the feel is, you know, we're back. And had the opportunity to watch local hero Jordan Spieth, you know, out on the course, and it was an exciting day. You know, you watch these guys that you watch on TV, and they make it look so effortless. And you know, you and I, we've gone out there a couple times and tried to hit the little white ball around, and it's a struggle for us. But you watch these professionals, I forget who it was we spoke to, but it's about a 60% effort for them. You know, and their swings are just so smooth, and the ball sails.
Yes, and it sails far.
Yes, yeah.
And where they want it to most of the time. But you know what? They hit the ball left and right.
Hey,
and
well, you know, we watched, he sticks it out there because he pushes it to the left or to the right. And so they do make mistakes from time to time, but their mistakes are you know, where we struggle to get out of it. You know, it's second nature to them.
Yes. And we were talking to Nota Begay, who is on NBC. He played at Stanford with Eldrick, Tiger Woods.
And what the advice he gave, and it was, yes. it was a really
Nota. We gotta Venmo you something, Cash
yeah,
App,
I'll because tell you
that
what.
Was I'm pretty darn good. And again, you know. To not only and Tiger's the same way, and of course these guys are long-standing friends. They're students of the game. They know the background of various places and golf courses, and just, you know, we growing up in far west Texas know things about New Mexico as well as Texas. He knew as much or more than we did.
Oh, he knew more than I did for sure. I well, had no
that,
idea
that,
what
that
he was telling
heart,
me.
That heart,
and but you know the history of the game and the history of the course itself,
and New Mexico and everything, and of the mountain gods at Mescalero, and just the whole background. It's fascinating when you understand why you see courses where and who's doing what, you know. And it's great to have those guys. We got caught up to Todd Lewis as well, who you see. Heck, he was at the Olympics one day. Like sub-zero.
Freezing on the top of a mountain in China.
All of a sudden, he's at Austin Country Club.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we learn from these folks as well. And that they're part of the peer group, of course, on a much larger stage. Nonetheless, I mean, Chris, they recognize things and we recognize and pick up things from them as well as we move through. But however, we all have an appreciation for these games, these sports, and that's what's really I think the glue that brings a lot of this together. And listen, big shout out to the volunteers and all of the background that goes into putting on a Sweet 16 and Elite 8, Dell Match Play, or any other. You know, Coda had the I wish that the NASCAR cars out there. Just a lot of things going on. We went with golf and basketball as opposed to Texas Relays and Coda. Clearly, we took the slower two of the sports where you can – although basketball is up and down. But there's nothing like watching The sprints at Texas Relays and things like that. Maybe Chico, next segment, may have a little peek about what took place
right at
Mike A. Myers Stadium.
I've always enjoyed watching track
and
field. I mean, do you watch the speed of these athletes?
Did you do in high school?
No, I was asked. I probably should have. I think I would have enjoyed
shot put.
Yeah.
I did 200. I think the 100 and 200. But then I had broken my foot from junior year on for varsity, and then came off the turn on the 200 in that very thin shoe, and realized something wasn't right. So that was the end of that. And then my senior year in the spring, I played baseball.
Right. So I was asked, you know, by the track coach at my high school to do track. And when I think of track back in those days, it was automatically, I don't want to run.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of the field events that I could have done. And I probably would have done okay in.
Yeah. We're going to step aside. We got our man, Rod Chico Tanner, the good governor of the South Texas District of the AAU, coming up with the AAU Focus on Youth Sports. So Chris and I will step aside, and we'll be back right here on Land Down the Law.
San Antonio has two Hop Dottie locations. Hi, I'm Steve Foster. One at the Rim and the new location at the Vineyard, 1301 North Loop 1604 West. And the initial San Antonio location at 17623 La Quintera Parkway, Suite 101 at the Rim. Different and delicious burgers, but fresh and all natural ingredients. Hop Dottie also has handcrafted milkshakes and hand-cut Kennebunk fries. So get to a Hop Dottie in San Antonio. When burger is life, life is awesome.
Straight Talk Wireless now has the new iPhone 13 with Cinematic Mode, which lets you focus on what matters. And with Straight Talk, you can focus on getting the best deal. Our Silver Unlimited plan is just $45 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. And it runs on the largest, most dependable networks, now with nationwide 5G. With the iPhone 13 on Straight Talk, you can share whatever you want, wherever you want. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, I'm Flo from Progressive. Being a baseball fanatic like me can be stressful. It's not all sports points and touchdowns. So Progressive is going to help you take your mind off your team for a moment. Instead of thinking about how they missed that goal point score, think about the Name Your Price tool from Progressive letting you choose coverage options based on your budget. Unlike your team that missed the end zone net area. Well, anyway, hope this distraction about Progressive's Name Your Price tool was helpful. It sure kept me from thinking about all those penalty balls. Yay, sports!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Rick. I'm at the Smith home. Where's Donnie?
Leaves and autumn bookings pile up for Rick's gutter cleaning service.
He's out? Come on.
He needs help before his bottom line gets clogged.
Okay, well, what about Christiana? We still got six houses today.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Viva Fitness! Run, ride, and rock at Fiesta Fit Fest presented by HEB April 8th through the 10th. The party kicks off on the Thomas J. Henry Center stage with a free concert featuring Jack Ingram on Friday, April 8th. And live music will continue all weekend. Get fit, have fun, be there. UTSA East Campus Live, brought to you by HEB, Michelob Ultra, University Health, Valero, Expel, and Thomas J. Henry. Learn more at FiestaFitFest.com.
Hey, San Antonio Sports Star listeners, this is Michael Kielbasa with Kielbasa Smoked Meats. Thanks to fans like you, you can now buy Kielbasa products just about everywhere. We hope you continue to enjoy our handcrafted small batch smoked meats because we sure enjoy making them for you. So grab some today and let me know what you think. My number's on the back of every pack, right by my promise that if it's not the best you've ever tasted, I'll give you your money back. Find Kielbasa at a store near you today.
Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill serves great cooking with an innovative take on classic American comfort food. For over 10 years now, Chuck and Larry have delighted appetites and presented one of the best Sunday brunches ever at 303 Red River in Austin. Go by and enjoy some corn dog shrimp, cornflake chicken salad, broiled rainbow trout, and all my favorites and more. Moonshine Classic American Comfort Food. And of course, when you see Chuck and Larry, tell them Foss said hello. Moonshine Patio Bar and Grill.
Laying Down the Law is brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Cover 3 San Antonio, Coordinated Financial Group, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
We're back. Yes, sir. We are laying down the law. It is a Dell Match Play Finals and an Elite Eight weekend for March Madness as we get ready to jump into April, fellas. But we have with us member, co-host of Laying Down the Law, the governor of the South Texas District of the AAU, the one and only Rod Chico Tanner. Chico, tell me you know something about the Texas relays this weekend.
Well, I was listening in and knew you would want to know. And no, I did not go to the Texas relays.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. Usually I'm like all up in the relays.
You're like the third column by the yard marker. You're usually a staple.
I'm usually right there at the finish line in the stands you know, running around. But I was actually in Seguin, Texas at a track meet at the Matador Relays. And my niece is a freshman, so she runs for Veterans Memorial. So had to go support my family, you know.
All
and
right.
I also was out there meeting with the AD and the coaches because Matador Stadium in Seguin is where we'll be hosting our Region 19 AAU qualifier, as well as our South District area qualifier. Mm-hmm. And I was out there meeting with them and looking at the layouts, and they also wanted me to meet with some gentlemen with the UIL that are going to be hosting the 3A Region 4 track championships out there. So we were all out there meeting and talking logistics and structure because this is the first time we're going to run there.
Right.
It's a beautiful facility. I'm excited about being there. But this is the part of the behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know. You got to start planning and putting the logistics together because when you have a track meet with over 1,000 athletes and upwards in our regional to 2,000 athletes, you can't plan that track meet the day before.
No.
And y'all have actually poked your head in a few of these track meets.
Yes.
They're not your average track meet. It's not 400 or 500 kids or, you know, some high school meets, you may only have 300 or 400 kids.
Right.
We're doing 4X, right. Sometimes 5X.
Right.
of that number. So the logistics is important. So I was in Seguin and excited to come out and see how their facility flows. It was an amazing thing. So I actually got – they had a crawfish boil set up for the coaches from all the high schools. It was a great event, man. I was like, I got some crawfish and got to meet people. I was like, man, hey, I don't know. Texas Relays is cool, but that Matador's Relay, hey, I don't know.
They got food.
I tell you what else was cool, Chico, that I saw this week and I mentioned, I think, to y'all, and I want to mention it to the listeners. Please share the football and 7-on-7 tournament poster. That looked really cool. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to coach at that. So
I need y'all out there ready to go. They stick in some spots to help out. But we are excited to partner with Jalen Jones, who is going in his third year at Texas A&M. And we're going to have a Jalen Jones skills camp. We're going to work with some specialty positions, cornerbacks, receivers, linebackers, safeties. So we've got a good group of trainers coming in. Actually, the defensive coordinator and one of the head coaches at Hutto is going to be out there helping us.
The Hippos.
We got gentlemen and some guys coming from Dallas that are some specialty trainers coming in. We've got Jalen Jones and a few more Texas A&M Aggies to be named that will be there at the event, and that is May 14th is the actual skills camp starts May 14th at 8 a.m. We go from 8 a.m. to noon for the Jalen Jones J17 or J17, that's his number, J17 skills camp. And then at 1 o'clock, we kick off the AAU 7-on-7 championship tournament. It's open for any 7-on-7 team. We have divisions 8 and under, 10 and under, 12 and under, and 14 and under. So we'll have our first day of the tournament. We'll do some round robin play. We'll move into knockout play on Sunday, and we'll crown a champion on Sunday for that 7-on-7. And that's going to be in Killeen, Texas, at the Lions Fields there. We partnered with the city of Killeen. So really excited about how the city of Killeen has stepped up in their Parks and Rec. And we're going to partner with them and put it on a great facility. We've got about five fields set up, pavilions set up. We're going to do on the morning, we're going to do an actual camp set up. But then we're also going to do a breakout session for parents that want to get some information about how to prep and get their kids set up from an academic standpoint, but also what do you need to do if you think your kid has that potential to go to the next level? How do you prep for all the back-end paperwork, and what are the things that you need to be looking at? So we're going to do a breakout session for the parents as well. So we're excited about that, and then we'll do a military appreciation, and we're going to award our Trailblazer scholarship. So Jalen Jones was our first scholarship award winner. We're going to award our second scholarship. Yes, our second scholarship. I got a young man. He's actually in the Killeen area. I'm kind of holding that to announce it.
Good.
But this young man is about to go to college and play a little football also. And he played all of his, pretty much most of every, almost all of his years of youth football in our AAU program. And he's from the local Killeen area. So I'm excited that we're going to award a scholarship as well that day. So it's going to be a great day. I'm excited about it.
Good. And I wanted to ask you, if you do need some more coaching, let me know so I can – I bumped into a few folks. And so
– Steve, you always bump into folks. Come on, man.
Yeah, well,
hey, hold on. Hey, come on, Chris. He's going to act like he just – dude, you do that all the time. Whatever.
Hey, we could be in Alaska and he bump into some folks.
Well, I mean, listen, I want to – I want to make sure
he's at Costco. He's at Costco and he's bumping it. Whatever, dude.
I want to make sure though that we have, you know, some quality folks that can teach.
Dude, I got the quality already lined up, brother. I got the quality. I me, man. I don't have to do anything, but I will keep that in mind.
Okay,
so
no problem.
Definitely. Yeah,
happy to help out.
Gotcha, man. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. I'm not turning it down, but you know, we try not to do anything that is not going to provide a value to the to the community,
absolutely,
and to the parents. So there you go. So,
without a doubt. Without
yeah. So
a
lot going on. We've got May 6th through the 8th. We're at Cornerstone High School in San Antonio for our district AAU basketball championships and national qualifiers. So I'll be putting that on. Well, I'm kind of double dipping because I'll also be out in Manor on the 7th for the Clash of Texas AAU track meet. It's hosted by the Austin Honey Badgers. That's a huge meet. So I'll be out there announcing. So I'm going to kind of leave Friday, kick off a tournament of basketball, and then come back on Sunday and finish out a tournament of basketball. But in between there, I'm going to jump in and do a track meet. So there you go.
Chris, don't you have a gentleman you wanted to see if Chico may have heard of since he mentioned AAU basketball?
Yeah, Chico, for AAU basketball, I was introduced to a young man named Matthew Soto who's played some AAU basketball over in the San Antonio area. He was recently selected for the Class 4A All-State team. A friend of mine mentioned that he had played AAU basketball and that his dad had actually coached in AAU. I was wondering if you knew him.
Well, I don't know him.
And he plays at Somerset High School.
I don't know him, and I'll tell you why. We've got a lot of kids and a lot of people.
Sure. I told him that. No, I told him that. I said, it's a long shot, but you know,
it's
take
a long
it.
Shot, but
take
you never know.
Shot.
But you never know.
Yes.
You never know. But
just,
that's
just
exciting
another
to
kid
know
who's
that,
gone through the program with you, Chico, who has been able to advance his skills through AAU basketball and carry it into high school and has an opportunity to go to the next level.
That's awesome, man. That's exciting. I'd love to meet him. Definitely, you know, if we can sync up and let me know how I can just at least say hello, I would love to do that.
Absolutely.
From the good governor, he is Rod Chico Tanner. Chico, another great segment. I know you got to get the body in motion because 11 o'clock you will be on the pitch.
Good luck out there, Chico.
Yeah,
don't hurt anything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll catch up with you. Our brackets are busted. We didn't even want to talk to you because we were like, we'll just watch and see what happens.
Hey, go Peacocks.
There you go. Exactly.
Go Peacocks.
All right, Chico. We appreciate you, my man. Be safe. Hopefully, we'll see you next week. All right. One in the books. We're coming back next hour strong right here on Laying Down the Law.
Live, local, loud. KZDC, San Antonio Sports Star. ESPN. AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. Laying Down the Law. Laying Down the Law. With Steve Foster, Rod Chico Tanner, and Chris Fernandez. Brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Instaco Global Logistics, Cover 3 San Antonio, Serenity Medical Centers, San Antonio and Austin, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
Our number two starts when Laying Down the Law. I'm your host, Steve Foster, alongside Chris Fernandez. We just had Rod Chico Tanner in the last hour doing some good stuff always with the AAU Focus on Youth Sports. I had my March Madness rage. I'll probably get back to that, but we got to also set the stage for Dell Match Play last day, quarterfinals, and then they go into their championship and consolation matches. But it's National Women's Month, and we've been fortunate to have quality women throughout the year, but it's a fun time now to highlight women in particular. And this young lady I've known because she has been a part of a family that has been with me for 37, maybe a little more than that, years. And that being the Good Garrett group, better than the Waltons, man, and probably just as wholesome. And that being my teammate John Garrett's wife, Honor Garrett. And John has been the head coach at Lafayette. Now he is the director of scouting and doing offense at Florida State. That hurts my heart. But she's a lovely young lady, and I'm glad to have her on the show today. Honor, welcome to Laying Down the Law.
Steve, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and love what you do. And I'm in the thick of actually moving right now, so it is quite chaotic, but I'm so glad I could take a few minutes and talk with you.
Well, absolutely. You know, saw you at Judd Garrett's daughter's wedding, Frankie, and congratulations again to the newly crowned couple and marriage. And,
you've
got a great family. I mean, eight is enough. I mean, I don't know how Coach and Jane did it, but they're doing it, and it's just a wonderful bunch. And, you know, my teammates and et cetera have been such a big part of my life and who I am, and continue that trend. But they're supported by women who are just as talented, successful, and on the go. And so, Honor, you know, I guess that goes with laying down the law. You can say your honor. So, as cheesy as a joke as that was, you do a lot. You're in the wellness and nutrition and motivational areas. You know, what led you to those topics and the way to express to other women and just people alike to motivate and be better and how to better themselves?
Well, Steve, thanks for that question. That's a great question. I, number one, am so blessed to be a part of the Garrett family. it's never dull. You know, eight brothers and sisters, 29 grandchildren of Mrs. Garrett. So all the cousins love each other. And it's just a really special thing that I only had two brothers. So this is, it's always a party. It's always a big gathering, and family is really important to my husband and I. So we had four kids, and that's a lot to take on, especially in these days and times. However, I always thought that I was going to do something big. And when I met my husband, I was actually a sports reporter for KSAT 12, an ABC affiliate in San Antonio, Texas. And I first met him and Jason when they were with the World League.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, it's been an amazing ride. We've moved. This is our 14th move in 28 years. And so I think what happens a lot of times to women in general, and sometimes especially in the sports industry, you almost get your identity from your husband because he's moving around and you're with this team and you're with that team. And it's all fun, but you know, deep down inside, like we each are individual and have so much to offer. And so I've just, now that my kids are grown and I feel like I have a lot of wisdom and I've been through a lot with them and I'm change and transition is just what I'm used to. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. So for me, I was like, how can I help people? And being in the sports industry, I've always cared about taking care of myself. So that just
you're in wonderful myself. Shape. You're in wonderful shape. If you go find her on Facebook and read some of the motivational, she practices what she preaches. I can certainly say that. But most everybody, like you said, in that family, because Coach would walk 3 miles a day. I mean, till he just, you know, up into his 80s. It's just impressive, the consistency.
He was an incredible human being. I always tell people that if Mr. Garrett had been my father, I would have been the president of the United States because he made you believe you could do anything.
Yes.
And I think that's what the message is to me. I think your thoughts are so important, whether it's in regular life or even as a competitive athlete.
Yes.
Your mind is literally what can make or break you.
What sports did you enjoy growing up?
Well, it's funny. I actually was a dancer, which for a long time. And then I switched over and I loved tennis. And I love team sports, but I never played basketball or baseball or anything like that, just for fun. But absolutely loved to run for a while, and then I gave that up. But tennis was definitely – and now that I'm older, I'm going to take up that pickleball that everybody's –
Yes, that's legit. In fact, we have a very good friend of ours who's actually part of our Laying Down the Law – fantasy football league, Damon Spizzo. Damon was a great tennis player in college, also played on the professionally as well. And now he's part owner of a professional pickleball league. So we can connect you if you want to. You can start your professional career a little bit later. Your four beautiful daughters are, you know, they're on their own now. They can find the cereal and everything else and wash their clothes and get going. So you could get out there and be a professional pickleball player. We could find you a few sponsors. I mean, it's not work.
Yeah, you know, hey, you never know. I mean, this is what my message to people is. Number one, you're never too old. It's never too late. If you have a breath in your body and you have and you're still of sound mind,
yes,
you can really create and do anything. Even if you can't physically, I know my husband's always like, yes, but I want to be a professional baseball player. That's not going to happen. Right. And I'm like, well, that's a little different. I mean, something within your scope that you really have a passion for. If you can't do it, you can maybe help mentor someone who can.
Right. Tell us one thing you taught John. John played wide receiver, played for the Cincinnati Bengals. They were just in the Super Bowl. And our other co-host, Rod Chico Tanner, wanted you to know that AAU has a huge pickleball program. So you may wind up being the face of our pickleball program. Listen, we are shameless. We are shameless. You know this, Honor. If we have somebody that can do it and can go, we'd love to have you. You know, we'll talk, of course, offline. But what's one thing you taught this professional football player and professional coach, college coach? What's one thing you taught John Garrett?
Wow, that's a good question. I am more impulsive and live in the moment, and John is very organized and does his research and watches, you know, listens to the consumer reports before he ever makes a purchase. So I think the thing that he's ever learned from me is just go with it. You don't have to be perfect. You just got to do it. And so I guess that would be it. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what he says.
Right. Right. No, that's true. But, you know, again, it's National Women's Month, so we're going to definitely give the preference and deference to you. Tell us one thing you found out about the professional game as you were a spouse that you probably were opened up to, your eyes wide when you went, oh, wow, this is part of this profession and industry.
Well, I think there's a huge mental health aspect.
Okay.
Because I really do believe, and I actually have a heart for players who suffer with CTE and the families that deal with that. And I think I just always thought of football and sports as fun and never really sat down and thought about the cost and what can happen down the road. If you don't take care of yourself and don't take care of your body. And so I think that tragic side of sports never entered my mind until I was in it and I saw so many people affected by it.
Wow. We're talking with Honor Garrett, the wife of former NFL player and NFL coach and college head coach, and my teammate, John Garrett. Honor, how can we follow you? How can we, because you're doing things, you're active. I mean, your whole family does a variety of things. But again, how can I say, hey, listen, I heard Honor Garrett talking about different things, from motivation to mental health. Where can we find you? Where can we find the comments and the thoughts of Honor Garrett?
Well, thank you, Steve. Well, actually, I'm everywhere on social media. So Honor Garrett on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I also have a website called Honor It Coaching. So my company's called Honor It. And I really think it's important that everyone honors everything, the good in your life, the bad in your life, because it may not feel good, but it's making you a better person. If you look at everything with a perspective that I'm growing through this, I'm becoming a better person, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to be resourceful. And that's what I do, is I help give people the resources and the tools and the mentorship to really live the way they want to.
Oh, that's fantastic. So honorit.com?
It's honoritcoaching.com.
Honoritcoaching.com. You know, because a lot of times I see Honor, we smile, we kind of, you know, are talking pleasantries, give each other a hug and move on. But it just, there was more to it. And when we had a chance to sit down and take some time to focus on just a conversation of, you know, what gives. I was really prompted, especially during National Women's Month, to have this as an entree. And we'd love to have you back any time you want to share some things. Honoritcoaching.com. That's awesome. Please go to that website. Let us know. You know, I do not like Florida State. It's okay, but I do love John Garrett. So, and Maureen, and I know, and the dadgum chop she's been doing in my ear for like the last 20 years. Just like, oh my God. Now you added another one of them another Garrett to FSU. But listen, it works. I'm glad that they were wise enough to have him be part of the staff. And Maureen is phenomenal. She's one of my best and closest peers. And just, you know, happy to be able to expand on my Garrettville, but you're part of that as well. And so, as I say, welcome to Garrettville, as you've been there for quite a long time. We'd love to have you back. Let us know what works for you, and we'll do our level best. I mean, you were here in San Antonio, so it's not like you're unfamiliar with these surroundings.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I love San Antonio. It's where I met my husband. It's where we fell in love. But I want to tell you that, so funny, I was cleaning the house out, and you know how all these different teams have different buttons?
Yes.
You know, beat Clemson, beat whatever. I found this huge one that says, beat Florida State.
Send that to me.
There's a gator on it, and I'm just laughing because, yeah, we were there once.
That's right.
Sides.
Yes. Hey, you know, Good coaches go wherever they're needed. And, you know, great ones get to go on either side of the rivalry. And that ought to be interesting. Maybe we'll put a side-by-side of him in some Florida stuff and then now in some Seminole gear as well. But, Honor, thank you. Thank you. Thanks to your family and thanks to my teammates in having the opportunity to get to know you better, and now our listeners know what's going on. I do want to have you back because the Garrettville is so diverse and complex. We love having Judd. We can't get Jason. For some reason, Jason, you know, John has agreed, but Jason, I don't know what it is, but we'll work on him.
Right. It's, sometimes you just you never know. I can't. Right. I'm not sure why either. But hey, he might. It just depends. You got to get him at a good point. But I wanted to thank you. Thank you for what you do and highlighting women this month. I think that's
absolutely
important. And I'm excited to talk to you again. And I have a podcast called the Honor It All podcast, and I want you on it. So I'm going to be reaching out to you.
That's great.
So I can share you with all of my fans.
Absolutely. And I know you have a lot of them. And listen, my mom was the best athlete in our family. So you better believe I'm going to look to who got me the scholarships and everything like that. So can't forget mom. Rest in peace. But listen, Honor, the best to your family. I love all y'all. Thank you for the time today with us. And we can't wait to have you back and also see you wearing that crazy Florida State stuff somewhere at a football game.
All right, you'll see it, and reach out to John. He'd love to be on too.
Absolutely,
we're glad we can help anytime. And you keep up, keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, honoritcoaching.com. Check out Honor Garrett, and she's also on social media. A lovely young lady who has a lot of good things to let you know about. We're gonna take a break, of course. Come back and finish up. Two more segments. I'm going to rant and rave. Yeah, why not? We're laying down the law. He is Chris Fernandez. I'm Steve Foster. And for Chico, we'll be back after this right here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Laying Down the Law is brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Cover 3 San Antonio, Coordinated Financial Group, and Hop Dotty Burger Bar.
Bring that ass back like a boom, 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 boom.
We're back. Got to thank Edwin for this. All right. Hopefully next week, we're going to be in studio next week. So we'll get to hang out with Edwin. Have him behind the glass with us. But a couple things. We want to say welcome to a couple new sponsors. One, Instaco. Global Logistics, Serenity Medical Centers in San Antonio and Austin. Why don't you tell us about Instaco, my friend?
Absolutely. So, hey, all you supply chain folks, is your freight stuck in the ports? Are your logistics and transportation costs rising out of control? Call Instaco to see how their customized port solutions have helped other customers get their production back on track. Instaco, Global Logistics builds customized supply chain solutions that drives your business forward. Instaco offers a full suite of services for all your logistics needs, including full truck, LTL, air and ocean freight transportation. Call us at 877-INSTICO for a free quote today. That's 855-467-8426 or visit www.INSTICOLGL.com. Go Instaco.
Website
INSTICOGL.com.
Global Logistics.
Global Logistics. Instaco.
Okay. We're going to probably have some needs for something. Probably trying to figure out these quarterfinal Dell match play matches. Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, right? You got Kevin Kisner. He's the defending champ. He's still in it. And match play is different golf-wise than stroke play. Because if you shoot a 9 and I shoot an 8, I win that hole. I'm one up on you. If you shoot a two and I shoot a three, you come back and it's all square. But that birdie just means you won the hole. Doesn't mean that you're off to shooting a 60, whatever, so on and so forth. So it's a different strategy when, you know, you have to sometimes make and hole shots because you're just playing per hole.
Yeah, it's an interesting format, and if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting to get a grasp of it, you know, to understand why they take the shots and why,
right.
You know, because, you know, on Friday we watched guys come out of the sand and they were going for the pin.
They had to. Right.
Because of the way the format is played.
Right, because it's just that hole.
Right.
It wasn't in total over 18 holes. It's, you know, you win, I win. You win, you win. Now you're up two. You win, you're up three. I win, now it's two. Yeah, so it's a back and forth, and it is a hole-by-hole scenario, and sometimes you don't get all 18 in because if you have a person that's up more and then there's holes left, then you're up whatever that number, and then it's the remaining holes left.
Interesting format, and a lot of fun to watch, you know, to see the strategy that the players take when they're on the course and when they're taking shots outside of the green. I enjoyed it. It's pretty exciting matches.
Great to talk to some of the players about things they see, junior golf. You know, listen, again, and the reason being we talk about junior golf is because no one walks out of
right.
a hospital and an elementary school right onto the pros. You don't. You got it. Somebody at least gonna have to go to middle school or junior high. You know, because I think they signed a soccer player at 14, maybe now in MLS. That's still middle school.
Yeah.
So that junior level is very important for the development. And, again, I'm going to tell you, and I can't stress this enough, have your kid play more than one sport. Have your kid play more than one sport.
No,
you're not
going to
be a better
that.
Baseball player for paying 48 weeks.
No,
out of 52. You're going to hurt the kid's arm. You're going to burn the kid out. I couldn't play baseball for that. No. I needed a basketball. I needed a football. I needed track. I played some soccer. My mom made me go to tennis camp. But all of those things helped me when it was all said and done to be able to do something very well that allowed me to continue on into the latter teens and early 20s.
You're absolutely right, Steve. And you know, we spoke to some of the players on Friday, and they, the story is the same for, even from them. You know, they played multiple sports.
Yes.
And one of the biggest themes that comes out of everyone that we spoke to was make it fun.
Yes.
Always make it fun. Don't make
it
a burden.
Fun.
Don't make it hard. Don't make it hard on yourself. Just go out there and enjoy what you're doing.
Got to be fun.
And play the multiple sports. You know, you and I have coached for several years, and I've coached a couple kids that played football for me whose parents had them playing baseball year-round. They'd go to baseball practice after football practice. None of them continued playing the game because they got burnt out.
No.
No. Baseball has a season, and that's what it's for. Basketball has a
We've
season.
Talked to professional Kenny Lofton.
Absolutely.
Kenny Lofton was a heck of a basketball player at the University of Arizona, but he played baseball as a profession. These guys can do other sports, and they really enjoyed it. And it all funnels in, trust us, the muscle memory and the different skills that you have. You don't know. Don't kill or take the fire and quench a sport that your kid actually could have been a professional
right.
in, but you didn't give him a chance.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't. There is such.
These golfers play more than just golf.
Right. Look at all the NBA stars and NFL stars and baseball players who play golf.
Yeah.
And play it well.
Yeah.
Because every sport lends itself to something else. There's concentration. There's technique.
Doug Flutie was All-State in basketball. I had to cover him at a football camp. You know, Fred Lynn, heck of a golfer, heck of a baseball player, could play football, could do it all.
You know, Friday we were talking to Quan Cosby from the Texas Longhorns, and he and several of his teammates still go out and play golf weekly.
I wonder if those guys play pickleball. They don't play pickleball.
I don't know if they fit on the court. They're some big guys.
We could play pickleball. Get us our nice, fine, you know, shorts and, you know, collared shirts and we go out there. We could probably pick a ball.
Yeah, we probably could do that.
Not we would, so well, but we could do it. You think?
Put your mind to it, right?
Right. That's what Honor said.
That's right.
Do that. All right, we're going to put our mind to this. Take a break. And we're going to come back. We've got two more segments. We're going to keep talking sports. We're going to recognize National Women's Month as well. The University of Texas continuing to win. Great job over this weekend. And, the Final Four, it's madness at its finest. We'll be back after this break right here on Laying Down the Law.
Laying Down the Law is brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Cover 3 San Antonio, Coordinated Financial Group, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
We're back. We are talking sports here on Laying Down the Law. And he is Chris Fernandez. I am Steve Foster. Deshaun Watson finally gets out of Houston, Texas. The man with 22 massage therapists. That doesn't sound right, man. Okay? I mean, I've had massage therapy since the 90s. I don't think I've ever... maybe I had 22 at this point. But I go to the massage school, so they have different students.
Right.
But that makes sense, right?
But they're a lot like a dentist or a barber, right? You find one that
and you
fits,
just keep, and you keep the
22 is a little excessive.
But somehow, and you were a part of one. He did not get sacked by the grand jury.
The grand jury comes back with a no bill.
Means we're not going to press. We're not going to create charges on this gentleman.
Yeah, but he still. I guess there's the civil side of it.
It's always the civil bar.
Yeah,
the personal injury guys and gals.
He may have to dodge them too. Have to face and have to try to dodge. But, a no bill comes across.
But, dude, he got $230 million guaranteed in Cleveland. My guy Baker Mayfield sitting there going, you know, I'm going to have to do a lot of progressive commercials to get that guaranteed.
Yeah.
What do we do with my guy Baker
Mayfield? Is it a good move, Steve? I mean –
for Deshaun Watson?
For the Cleveland Browns, I mean, they're getting a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, but there was, in my opinion, Baker was getting it done there.
They say his arm wasn't strong enough. They had injuries, you know, and then he played up because Baker, I would have told him to make a business decision and not try to tackle the guy once he threw the interception, man. I mean, Peyton Manning's thrown 5 interceptions in a game. Okay. So you throw 2, 3. See, that's the thing. They get harsh on him, but he took him to the playoffs. It's such a fickle world because how many people, just like when they jumped on Nick Foles, how many Philadelphia Eagle quarterbacks won a Super Bowl?
Right.
Was it Randall Cunningham?
No.
Was it McNabb? Was it Ron Jaworski? They went.
But win is a different story.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've gone to the Aston Martin car dealership, but I didn't buy it. I didn't buy a car. I went. Didn't buy a car. No vehicle for false. What happened? Your limit is here. The Aston Martin limit is here.
So, Foss, let me ask you, you know, with Deshaun Watson going to the Cleveland Browns and his legal woes, does that follow him? Does that affect?
Could. That's why you pay lawyers.
Right.
That's why you get attorneys. Sometimes you just don't need to fool with things.
But as a player, do you want that in your locker room? I mean, it's going to be there. The news
you
is
have
be
it.
There.
Hey, you have it in your box. Electronic stores, you have it in your restaurants, you have it in – you have legal issues with employees all over the place. It's just a different industry that we see because people wear that jersey with the name on the back. But every industry has an employee or so that has legal issues.
No, I guess you're right. I just, you know, from the – it's a different stage, you know, and you know what it's like in a locker room, you know, the continuity and the camaraderie.
I don't like anything wherever you are work-wise or where you have to get things done to have an imbalance because of one or two coworkers. That's not ideal for me. We all need – we all aren't and cannot be best friends.
Right.
But you got to be able to get along. And you know the teams that get along the best usually have the best records and outcomes. But they weren't all best friends, but we got along.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, at the team meal, there wasn't like, oh, if the spot was here and it was with the defensive linemen, I could sit with them and still get it just as much, you know, out of it as I would if I was sitting by a quarterback or a receiver or a running back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's got to be that connection, and it's got to work throughout the entire team. And if you bring any kind of disruption, it just, in my estimation,
takes away from the focus of what you're trying. The goal to meet or exceed the goal, you must have focus. Right. I don't even think sometimes you have to have complete focus, but you have to have more focus than chaos.
Yeah, and you don't want the distractions in there because, like it or not, it's there.
Right.
So
who takes Baker? Where does he go? Does he stay?
Oh, I would have loved to see Baker go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really would have. I'm not happy with what they did with Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think he gets it done.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
I think that there was other options. Of course, I'm not in the office and my opinion means squat, but I think that they could have done something better there. And I think that I would have loved to see Russell Wilson.
I don't think he was going to go to the Steelers.
But I think
that would have been a cool
relationship
with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin, I think, very interesting. Never had a losing season.
Heck of a coach, you know, and he's always built a team around what's left because people leave the Steelers. They do. Because the Steelers don't. They're not the high dollar team.
Hey, people leave the Kansas City Chiefs and Tyreek Hill for 120 million clams, 70 some million of those clams guaranteed. Yo, man.
And that's not something that happens a lot.
That's a lot of red lobster.
Sure it is. Sure it is. So, you know, I think that the beginning of the season upcoming for the NFL is going to be interesting to see all these changes and player performance. It'll be interesting.
Any other moves? Capture Devontae Adams gets reunited, and I think with Derek Carr in Vegas with the Raiders. You know, I was like, well, what about him and you know Aaron Rodgers? Well, I don't know if he knew if Aaron Rodgers was going to be back, and he gets to sync up with his college quarterback. Look what Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow are doing in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I was talking to our guy, Mr. Raider Nation, Q Myers, and Q was like, listen, these guys throw all the time and, you know, catch up whenever they can. So now they had a chance to work professionally. Why not?
Sure.
I mean, you know, you say you have two guys that you knew before, and then all of a sudden they collaborate and hook up, and maybe they're on Sunday morning now because they had known each other
for a long time.
A long time in the past. Yeah, nobody does that.
Nobody.
Who would want to do that?
I'll tell you, just the crazy people.
It makes sense.
It does, and when you can build that type of chemistry,
yes,
especially in those positions,
right.
When you go into season.
Let me tell you, Jason and John, as quarterback and receiver, they didn't have to say a thing.
No.
They just blinked.
They've been
playing catch
all their lives, right?
In the backyard,
right.
Yes.
You know?
It makes sense.
I was going to say it'd be like me and my brothers, but you'd have to ask which one again.
Yeah, because you have three. Yeah. It's like, oh, I was talking to my brother. And I look at you like, hey, Chris. A little hint.
But it's, you know, when you have that kind of chemistry with somebody in those two positions, it translates to games time because you don't have to second guess. You understand each other.
And they can throw the ball in places where Devontae Adams knows where it's going because they've done it. And you're like, well, how did he know to go high? Well, how did he know to throw it low and inside? Well, shoot, they've been doing that.
Yeah, and they know each other. They understand each other. They know the way each other thinks, and that goes a long way.
Because you know there's been some of the greatest plays made offensively and defensively that were not what the coach called.
No.
And I just want to give that little caveat. It's not a secret. You really shouldn't do it much Because a lot of times it doesn't work out.
Right. But when it does.
When it does, you're going. But again, you have to be in a situation that you really know that person.
Right.
Who you're.
That playground football will work.
Correct.
On occasion.
On occasion. And occasionally we have to stop what we're talking about and have the commercials run. Like now. So we will be back again. He's wearing the shirt already. I'm sporting a little black. Now you can tell the part if you're watching us off the StreamYard deal, who's whom, and also our names are right in front of us. So we're going to be back for our last segment here on this final Sunday of National Women's Month. March Madness and the quarterfinals, et cetera, championship and consolation matches at Dell Match Play at the Austin Country Club right here on Laying Down the Law.
Laying Down the Law is brought to you by Texas Spine Care Center, Cover 3 San Antonio, Coordinated Financial Group, and Hop Dottie Burger Bar.
We're back. Laying Down the Law. As we finish up March with the madness. Two teams already in, Duke and Villanova. So if you're blue and white, that bodes very well for you. But we'll see in these quarterfinal matches at Dell Match Play starting at about 12:35 p.m. Central. Scotty Scheffler, the UT grad against Seamus Power. That's fifth in the world going against 42nd in the world. Then I think one of the probably the most popular match of the four, Dustin Johnson, 8th in the world versus Brooks Koepka at 16th in the world at 12:50 p.m. And then at 1:20, we have Abraham Answer at 15th in the world versus Corey Connors, 56th in the world. I guess he would be the underdog because they take the top 64, so he's in. But listen, don't sleep on anybody in the top 64 in the world. There's 7 billion people in the world. So if you're 56 ranked, you still beat 7.9 billion people. And then Will Zalatoris at 24th against Kevin Kisner, the defending Dell Match Play champ. They go off last at 145, so we'll get a chance. I mean, Chris, DJ or Koepka is going to be in the semifinal. That's right. Next, then the championship from there. So 4-2. No, 8-4 and 4-2.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you look at the matchups, Steve. It's I guess if you want to look at it as a seed, it's just two of them. It's a high seed versus a very low seed playing against each other. It's going to be an interesting day. It'll be an interesting day of golf to see how it all pans out when it's all said and done.
So when it's all said and done?
I don't know.
Kisner defend?
You got to say he
got a good shot.
Absolutely, and you've always got to. You don't always. You kind of look for the defending champ to.
Scotty Scheffler's been hot. DJ's played well before. He's just quiet and he moves along.
And
Koepka's a major champion as well. I mean, you got guys that can ball out,
right?
You know,
and like you said, it's these are the top guys in the world. So
in the whole wide world,
and you know that on in golf as any other sport, the day lends itself to whoever hits the ball well and plays through.
So speaking of, well, you're talking about hitting the ball well. What about shooting the ball well? And we've got two more spots in the Final Four. And so is that Kansas, Miami, and you got North Carolina and St. Pete's. St. Pete's clearly from Jersey City, baby.
So you know, I'm one of those guys who always goes for the underdog, and you look at St. Pete's and the story that they've had throughout the tournament.
15-seed, first time to get to the Elite Eight.
Absolutely, and I'd like to see them move up and keep going.
North Carolina's kind of had Corey Love, Caleb Love. Caleb Love was phenomenal.
That is a big wall to tumble down, and can they get through him? we'll see. They've been playing some really good basketball, Steve, and wouldn't it be neat to see them go through, though?
It'd be crazy because North Carolina is, you know, they're on a roll doing well. And why not another Duke-North Carolina in the Final Four? That would, you know, Krzyzewski, you know, it's funny because how can you write these scripts? You can't. How do you plan that? You can't plan that.
No, it just kind of falls in place for you, and I don't know. Would it?
I think it's going to be Villanova against Kansas and Duke against North Carolina in the Final Four.
I think Kansas pulls it out over Villanova. I'd like to see them. I mean, they're the last.
So Kansas and North Carolina, yeah, Big 12 team.
They're the last Big 12 team in there, so.
And Bill Self is a heck of a coach. Himself. You know, yeah, right. I mean,
I think any one of the of those teams that get, if it's going to be a good final.
But if St. Pete's gets St. Peter's, they won on National Peacock Day.
Right.
I should have bet the house on that day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not.
It doesn't.
How many times do you get a peacock mascot on National Peacock Day playing in the game?
It doesn't get it. You couldn't write that.
Again. But if North Carolina wins, you can't write North Carolina Duke otra vez.
Yeah, and that's a matchup that you know it's storied. It's happened.
That ticket would be stupid high.
Yeah,
silly money.
Silly money.
The money. I'm gonna put it. I'm gonna push all in. If Kansas can get there, I think who's the winner of Kansas Villanova. I'm going with the bottom part of the bracket.
I'd have to agree with you, Steve. I don't know. Let's see how it shakes out.
All I know is I know people bet money on me when I was 19, and I just hope I did y'all right. I never looked at the line. I never looked at the line. I just wanted to win.
And I think that you know, going into the tournament, and these guys, the athletes at St. Pete's probably – I don't know that when you're from a small school, do you walk in thinking, we're going to do this? I mean, surely you want to have the mindset that you're going
to
win.
You have to.
But you know, and as you gain momentum through the tournament, there's that feeling that you get, God, we're going to win.
And then
you go into the next game, and then and it works out for you. And the games have not been blowaways. They've been close games.
No.
And they've stayed right in the game and ahead. It's just a great story. It really is.
Yeah, and I was listening this morning to Cinderfella, Dana Dane, for you old school rappers. So who knows? The Cinderfella, St. Peter's. I don't want to call him St. Pete. St. Peter's, the Peacocks could win.
Kind of remind you of a story in basketball back in the mid-60s when a small school from West Texas.
Yes.
Went to the NCAA
beat Kentucky?
And beat Kentucky. And the great Adolph Rupp.
And the greater Don the Bear Haskins.
There you go.
Because he's from our hood, baby. The 915.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I actually took a photo at the AT&T Center with two guys that had two Texas Western jerseys on.
Speaking of that, you know, we had the opportunity to watch a young man with the same name as the great Neville Shedd.
Grandson? No,
or
I think it was cousin or nephew or something.
Somewhere down the line, right. But related to
that
Neville
Shedd. And that 1-for-20, you should have not brought that up, man. There's no way you shoot 20 three-pointers instead of going to the basket. They had a full-on 3-on-2 fast break against Villanova and pulled up, and I lost my – and I was like, what the – what just happened? I mean, and I'm sure – I wasn't embarrassed because it just showed that Gen Z is not like, go to the rim, yeah. Go to the rack, get fouled, and one, put it in. You know, you could – those guys could dunk on the 3-on-2 fast break. You don't have to lay it in. I have to lay it in.
Arizona did the same thing on Thursday night. They had.
Let's look for the three-pointer because analytics tell me that if I do two threes, that's 6 points. You have to make three twos.
Man, okay. Miss me with the freaking flashcards from multiplication. I get it. Miss me with that. The higher percentage shot is the better one when you go 1 for 20.
It's a sign of the
5%.
It's the way the game is played these days.
But you have to make an in-game adjustment. If you go 1 for 10, you know, don't take any more 3-point shots, team.
Steve, it's automatic. You have 3-on-2 driving down on a fast break.
Big.
Move
6,
the ball
5,
around and put it up to the
30,
up
40 in the, inch yes. vertical dudes.
Draw the foul. I mean, that's how
that's
it used
a
to
joke.
Always, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Somebody's going to foul me, get posterized, and one all in the same move if you do it right.
Especially when you're shooting from the 3-point line.
5%.
Has been terrible all night
5%.
Long. 5%. Doesn't make sense at all.
You get some of that, I hear, on the Capital One cash back. You get 5%
yeah.
in one category. And you know the credit card companies ain't trying to give you much. So 5% is nothing.
Right.
I'm done.
I don't know.
I'm done, man. Let's go get in some vitamin D, get some sunscreen on, because I'm dark enough. And we can put on the hat and see
Dell
who
match
wins.
Play. Dell match play. It's going to be a good day.
I'm going with Koepka. I'm going with Koepka.
I think I'll sit there. You know what? I'm going to go with Johnson.
You always got to go opposite me.
Well,
Kisner will probably win or somebody else. We'll probably lose.
It's a beautiful day outside.
In
a lot of sunshine.
It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
And we're going to go enjoy some golf.
Yes, we are. So for Edwin behind the glass, Rod Chico, Taylor, Tanner. And the Tanner Report on the pitch. Chris Fernandez, Steve Falls. I got to get out of here. Can't speak. We're laying down the law. We'll be back next week right here on San Antonio Sports Star. ESPN AM 1250, 103.3 FM.